Matthew 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them at his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. And shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in a hunger, or in fed thee, or thirsty, and we gave you a drink? When did we see you as a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Let's pray together that God will touch our heart again and he will move in our midst. Stir our souls today. Jesus, we love you. God, we come before you right now, before your throne, and we pray that you would touch our lives, that you would stir our hearts, God, that you would help us to understand the urgency of the time and the urgency of the day. God, we pray, Lord, that you would move in our midst today. God, that you would touch us and minister to us. Encourage those who are down. God, inspire those who are weak, Jesus. Convict those that are in sin, God, but do whatever it takes to bring us to that place where we know that we are safe. Jesus, use me mightily today and open our ears and hearts that we may hear your word. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to preach to you simply this thought today. Right or left? Right or left? Why don't you look at your neighbor and say that as a question. Right or left? Right or left? In our world today, there's a whole lot of discussion about the right or the left. In the political circles, the right is the conservative, the left is the liberal. People are clamoring on each side about how the other side is wrong and how their side is right. And this message is not about political parties, so just relax. We get enough of that all week long. Amen. This message is about what side of God are we on. I'm not talking about are you represented by a donkey or an elephant. I'm talking about are we on God's right side or are we on the left side? We need to be on the right side of God. Amen. We need to be in line with what Jesus Christ wants and has stated for our life. For whatever reason, down through history, the right side has been determined as the right side. At least it was in the Bible. And then that has pulled even into our culture today, as many people that don't like the right or don't like the left, they still use phrases that denote that the right is right. The right side represents power, the good position, the highest position. Even in our culture, to sit on the right hand of somebody that is in power has a very strong meaning. And when you go to these high-level meetings, whoever's sitting on the right side of the president or whoever's sitting on the right side of that particular leader, everybody automatically knows that's the next guy. That's the next most important person in this meeting. You know, you would be their right-hand man. I've never heard anybody called the left-hand man. Not one time have I ever heard said, that's my left-hand man. Even people that are left-handed don't say it that way, right? They say, that's the right-hand man. I've never heard anybody say, make it left. They don't. They say, make it right. Right? So right must be right. Now I've got some of you, man, it's just a, I can smell the smoke. Oh, he's getting awful close. Preacher's getting awful close. Oh, I'm going to mess with you all today. We could spend a lot of time on this, but I think we get the point. Even in our culture, where the left thinks they're right and the right thinks they're right, it's clear that right is what everybody wants to be and wants to think they are. And if you're not confused yet, you're not listening. The Bible is what I go by. And whatever lines up with the Bible is what is right. And so if I stay right with the Word of God, then I must be right with God. And that's my right. Amen? I want to be right. I want to be right there with God. I want to be right there in His will. I want to be right there with Jesus Christ. The world calls things right that are wrong. And because they get some professor who professes, because that's what professors do, right? That's why we call them professors, because they profess. And because they profess to be wise, they think that that opinion validates their belief is right. But if the professor has studied the wrong material, and all of his knowledge is based on things that he studied that is wrong, he can't help but be wrong. So if you go and you try to use man's wisdom to make yourself right, you're going to be wrong. Now, some of you are already lost. Your eyes are crossed. Amen. Our schools and our colleges are full of maybe most, let's say mostly well-meaning people that are trying to present the new right and the new way. And this is the better way. This is the new improved version. We've got churches out there that are trying to improve on what God has called original and right. And they say, well, we can make this better if we do it this way. And if we lean to the world, how can you lean to the left or not the right and be right? It doesn't make any sense. The closer we get to right, which is the Word of God, then the closer we're going to be to God, and we don't need to improve on that because God is right. Sorry, world. Yeah, somebody said right. I want to be right. And I don't care who's in office, and I don't care who's running. I don't care who's hiding. I don't mean to sound flippant, but every day there's a new problem. Every day there's a new war starting. Every day there's a new crazy leader that's going to launch a bomb. You know, we've all read the news. North Korea's got a hydrogen bomb now. They've tested it. They're going to throw it at us any minute. I want to be right with God. I may not be able to do anything about that, but I want to be right with God. This is no time to be messing around with left. There's no time to be messing around with wrong. We need to be right. We need to be right. We can study all we want. We can learn all we want. We can get degrees or whatever you believe. But if you study and learn and memorize wrong things, you've learned wrong, so you can't be right. And all you did was learn the wrong stuff. And that's how we come from the world. We come in, we've got knowledge of the world. We think like the world. We act like the world. We function like the world. We agree with the world. But we come into the house of God, we come into the things of God, and all of a sudden everything is completely different than what we've ever seen it before in our life. And it looks wrong because we're used to thinking that we were right, because this is all we've ever known. And so we come into God, and God says, no, that's not how we do it. We do it this way. This is my will. This is the way that I would like for you to do things. This is the boundaries I've put in your life. We didn't think anything about sin when we lived in the world because we lived in sin. So the church looks wrong. But we come into the church and God stirs us and God fills us with His presence and God forgives of our sins. And we go down in the watery grave of baptism. We come up a brand new creature and everything about our vision begins to change. And we begin to see differently. We begin to look at things differently. We don't necessarily understand them. But we know now that that was not right, but the world's way was wrong. I want to be right with Jesus Christ. I want to be right with God. When I study the Bible, it helps me be right. When I invest myself into the things of God, it helps me be right. Do you really think that I get up here and fuss every week and preach every week and go on every week about how important it is to be here and how important it is to be involved and how important it is to have your kids in Sunday school and how important it is for you to be living right and doing things right in the home just so I can tell you what to do? Because I know I'm wasting my time. Because you're not going to do it because I say it's right. You've got to believe it's right. But when we start doing it right, and we buy into it, we start seeing it as for what it is, and then everything changes in our life. And then what happens is, our kids come up in a different world than we did. Brother Dion, your children have come up in the church. That doesn't automatically mean they're in, but at least they come up with the perspective that this is right and that's wrong. Now they can still decide to do what's wrong. We can still go that way. You're bringing your children up to know what is right. And someday they'll have to make their own minds up as to what's right and what's wrong. And sometimes they struggle with that when they get to those teenage years. We've been through that. Some of you have been through that. It's part of life. But at least give them a fighting chance to see, you know what, all my life this has been right and that's been wrong. Make it at least a decision. Let's teach them right. World says you can believe whatever you want. And if you believe it, that makes it right. I'm not going to tell you what I really think about that. But it shows you were wrong. Hallelujah. Whoever came up with that knew they were wrong, but they couldn't face it. So they made up a lie to make themselves feel better. You ever play a board game with somebody that changes the rules so that they know they can win? That is our world today. And if you get in the game with them, you can't win because they're going to change the rules. If you out-argue them, they're just going to make a new rule. They're going to make a move. Well, you know, you can jump from here to here if your birthday is on September, whatever, another. And they can make up stuff that'll blow your mind. And I look sometimes and I see and I hear and I'm just dumbfounded by the crazy, ridiculous ideas that are pouring out of the world and now have got into the churches and have begun pouring out of the churches. And I'm sorry, but when you put a sign out front that talks about how proud you are of your sin in front of your church, you need help. You need to get back on the right side of God. You need to get right with God. I've had about enough. There's already 12 of you out there thinking, oh man, we're going to get sued. Pastor, how come I can't say what I think is right and everybody else can say what they think is right? What, did we get lost somewhere? The Bible says sin is sin. I got nothing against the people, but I don't have to go along with sin. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry. I don't have to be sorry because I have something to lean on. I have something that's been in effect for all of the ages. It's God. He was, He is, He always will be. Nobody was before Him. Nobody's coming after Him. Nobody can teach Him anything. Nobody can tell Him He's wrong because He's God. This isn't Wayne's word. It's God's word. I don't know where this came up with, but somebody started the conversation last week and said, man, it's a good thing I'm not God because I'd have zapped all these people. And then they got laughing and said, you know what? I'd have zapped myself last week. Because we're not cut out to be God. We don't have the capability of being God. We need to stop trying and just line up with God. Let Him be God. We'll just follow Him. Let him take the heat. We'll just follow him. You know, this is no different today than it was in the days of God's people in Israel. And they would get behind the worshipers and God would go before. You know how many times it says in the Old Testament that God went before them? Well, God still does that. Today, it's not as physical as it is spiritual, but God still goes before us. God can plow a hole through all of hell standing up together at one time against God, and all he has to do is say, boo, and they all scatter. We just got to stay behind God. We got to stay right with God. This is not time for us to be confused. It's not time for us to get tired. It's not time for us to let up. It's time for us to be right with God. I do not profess to be smarter than others because I know most are smarter than me. However, I do know some things because I studied the right book. I live my life, I try my best to live my life based on this book. How can you study the left side, the left books, and the left ideas and end up right? Let me rephrase it. How do you study the wrong things, watch the wrong things, hear the wrong things, do the wrong things, participate in the wrong things, and end up right? You're fooling yourself. You just believe you're right. But unless we line up with the Word of God, we can't be right. I want to be right. He's right. I want to be right. Why? Because those who are right with him will be with him for eternity, and those who are wrong will be separated from him for eternity. It's time for us to decide whether we're going to follow God like sheep or we're going to have to be driven like goats. The main difference between a sheep and a goat, Brother Mike, very little difference visually. When you talk about just sheep running around in the pasture, I know we get a vision that a goat's got horns and he runs into everything, and a sheep is big and white and poofy, right? Because that's what we see in the pictures. But when they stand out there next to each other and they're both, the sheep has been shorn and there's no wool, you can't tell the difference by looking at them which one is what, unless you know these animals very well. However, number one difference between the two is that a sheep follows the shepherd, but a goat has to be driven. The Bible says in Psalms that thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, because we're on the right side of it. See, the staff guides, the rod corrects. And the reason some of us feel so beat up is because we're acting like goats. I'm just putting it out there. Why does God keep whacking me? Because you won't follow him. Because he's trying to save you. He's trying to get you to convert and be a sheep. Because the scripture we just read tells us what's going to happen whoever's left being a goat. This scripture also tells me that this line all thinks they're going the same place. They were all there. And he separated. There is one more fork in the road that's coming, my friends. One more fork in the road. And when Jesus comes back and judgment day is set, he does the separation. And what I want to hear from him is, you're going to the right. I don't want to hear you're going to the left. I want to hear that you have been a sheep. I don't want to hear you have been a goat. I'm not insulting anybody. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm trying to help you be saved. I'm trying to help us be saved. Because if all we can do is butt up against God and we butt our heads against the Word of God and we don't see it that way and I don't like it that way and I don't believe it that way and that's our motto, guess what? Sheep don't do that. Sheep just follow. The devil loves this because he'll come to you if you're trying to be a sheep, and he'll say, "Well, there you go, just like a bunch of dumb sheep, just following God, just following the man of God. I'll put myself there. That's where I am. That's my job. I follow him. You follow me. That's the way it is. That's what Paul said, right? I'm not setting myself up. This is what it is. You just like a bunch of sheep. Just follow along with whatever the Bible says. Go ahead. You don't have any brains for yourself." And he insults the sheep. But the goats, he props up and says, "Hey, you ain't going to be nobody's yes man. You got a brain. You think you have your own relationship with God. You don't need to listen to the pastor. You don't need to listen to the preaching. That's for somebody else. That's for somebody over there that can't think for themselves. You can think for yourself." We got to be careful. You think I never faced that? We all face it. And I'm not saying we shouldn't think for ourselves. What I'm saying is I think we need to make sure we're right. And the only way to do that is to follow the Word of God. And it gets real tense when I start talking about something like this, because our human nature bucks against anybody telling anybody what to do. That's why we're all lost. That's why our world is so crazy today. Because kids are taught to rebel against their parents, and they're taught to rebel against tradition and push against everything you've been taught and push against everything that's been right all your life and push against what made us a great country and push against all of these things and buck and buck and buck. And that's what we're encouraged to do. And we bring that to God, and God is trying to say, "Come on, follow me." "Nope, going this way. Going this way." God's, "Come on this way." "Nope, going this way." And we push and fight and drag our feet and kick and scream and yell. And all God is trying to do is lead us to heaven. Sheep are of a submissive nature. They give up their will. They surrender to the guidance of the shepherd. The goats are just the opposite. Make no mistake about it. The left side is not the right side on that day. You want to be right so you don't get left. Jesus is coming soon. The trumpet is going to sound very soon. And at that point, whatever decision we've made and whatever path we've taken and whatever spirit we're carrying, that of the sheep or that of the goat, is going to seal our eternal fate. I want to be submitted to God. I want to be submitted to Jesus Christ. Now, I am very aware that this kind of preaching is not popular. And I am aware that Satan is trying his best to either get you mad at me or at least help you excuse whatever sin you're allowing in your life. And I have nothing to personally gain from this message. However, I made a commitment when I took the call to preach that I would preach the truth, that I would preach the whole truth, and that I would preach the gospel to every creature. So popular or unpopular is not terribly important to me. What's important to me is that you know the devil is out there, and he's trying to trick you into being a goat, and he's trying to make that look like the right path, and he's trying to tell you that all this stuff in the world is okay and God doesn't care anymore. God never changes. We celebrate that, man. We love that when it's good for us, but we don't so much like it when it rubs us the wrong way. But God never changes, and I'm glad he doesn't. I'm glad God still doesn't think that sin is okay. I'm glad that God still doesn't approve of all of these crazy lifestyles. I'm glad that God does not say, "Well, we've changed culture, so that's okay now." Why? Because I have lived in the blessing of obedience, and I see the blessing that is on my family, that comes from the power of God, that comes from the Word of God, that comes from trying to be right with God. I am a blessed man today because of the ways of God. There's enough people out there who make sure that nobody gets offended, that nobody's toes get stepped on. They don't need my help. I love your soul, and I want to see us make it to heaven. I want to be standing on the right side of God on that great day. As the famous Charles Dickens wrote in The Tale of Two Cities, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, and it's going to be just that way on that day. because those things that were so important to us that we just would not let go of, that we would just not submit to God, that we just had to have or we just couldn't make it, we are going to hate those things on that day and for the rest of eternity. But the things that we have hated to put down, but we've done it, and the things that we have submitted to that we really didn't want to, and we just said, you know what, living for God, being right is more important than carrying this, and being right is more important than carrying on like that, and being right is more important than being popular. On that day, oh, we are going to look back and say, man, that was nothing, because I'm going with the sheep. I'm going into heaven for eternity. I'm going to spend the rest of my eternity with Jesus Christ. It really comes down to this choice: hate it now or hate it for eternity. Just gotta have it. I can't let go of it. I gotta have it. I gotta hold on to it. Why? It's that goat spirit. It's that hard-headed spirit. It just says, I won't let go. Let go and let God be God of everything. Everything. Man, Matthew 16:26 says, for what is it man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Start adding it up that way. Whatever it is that we struggle with, whatever it is that the devil's convinced us that God really doesn't mind. If God really didn't mind, why would the devil spend so much time on it? Think about it. Be logical. This is logical. It's not as far out as we think it is. And if I'm really struggling with it and God pulls at my heart every time the preacher preaches, that must be it. So take that it thing and weigh it up against your soul. How's it add up? Pretty pathetic. Doesn't matter. Walk away from it. The devil's a liar. You can live without it. The devil's a liar. You don't need those things in your life. The devil is a liar. God is greater than anything that the devil can give you. He offers you a bunch of things, and you never get anything but pain for it. And there's enough of us around here to say, amen, brother, to that, because I lived it. I tried it. It wore me out. It beat me up. It drug me through. And here I am today carrying baggage. I didn't have to because I didn't keep it right. If you're right today, stay that way. If you're on the wrong side today, get right. Let's stand together. I need Jesus in my life. I don't care if it makes me look weak. I need him. I don't care that people say, well, you just use church as a crutch. You could say whatever you want. I need Jesus. I'll admit it. I am that, if that's what it means, I'm that sorry that I need Jesus. I'm that weak that I need Jesus. I don't care. I don't care if the devil thinks that I'm just a dumb sheep, all the way to heaven is going to be me. I'm going to follow Jesus all the way to heaven. I'm going to be right behind him. I'm going to stick with him. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to let him lead me and guide me. Oh, this has been a tough message. But I feel the presence of God in this place. You know why God does this? Because he sees somebody got lost. He sees the tremendous pressure the church is under today to give in. He sees the tremendous pressure that you as individuals are under to give in. But the power of God is in this place. The healing power of God is in this house. A revival spirit from heaven is hovering above this church right now. Maybe that's what you need. Just need a little revival. You need a little rekindling. You need an explosion of the Holy Ghost in your heart today. Oh, Pastor, I've been struggling. I've been messing with things I shouldn't have. I've been tempted to go into these things that I shouldn't be. And I'm just weary and whatever. It looks so good. I don't know what it is the devil's telling you. But hear this preacher today. Jesus is coming soon. And we need to be right. And not by the world's right. Not by the media's right. Not by the stars' right. But by Jesus' word right. We need the word of God in our life today. Jesus, I feel him so strong. Oh, church, can you lift your hands? Can you lift your voice? This altar is open today. If anybody would like to come and pray, I think it'd be good if we all did. Just Jesus, search me. God, wash me clean. Jesus, help me, Lord God. I plead your blood over my mind. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we cry out to God right now? Can we reach out to him right now? Oh, Jesus. Can somebody seek God this morning? Can somebody go after the things of God?